I wasn't here last time to introduce Albert when he spoke, and it's not that I deliberately didn't come. I was away preaching elsewhere. But we welcome Albert Sutherland in the name of the Lord, preaching God's word today. And we welcome you in the name of the Lord, and pray that the Lord will bless you all as we praise the Lord today. Thank you, Albert. There is tea following the service, but you'll give the announcements as well.
Right, Abdi here, ma. Is that all right? Aye. Pointless me standing up here, nobody hearing me. Intermissions for the coming week, in the will of the Lord. The Lord will maybe be back at that time, so when I need intermissions, maybe after this week. There's tea, coffee in the back hall after the service. Warm welcome to Abdi, of course. Lovely to see you this morning. With a wee bit of a glitch in the morning, we're going to get in. So we went up with an open air. But Elaine was going to sing, she said, and Ruth was going to join in. Okay? So, but please stay and enjoy a time of fellowship, a cup of tea after the meeting. Colville anniversary, 6 p.m. a night with Dennis Lyle. I've been the last two nights, and it's been lovely. Powerful meeting, powerful word. Pray for Amanda Stevens, Turning Point, Scotland, tomorrow lunchtime. Up the stairs, that the Lord will bless those that come to that. Zoom prayer meeting Wednesday, 8 p.m. Thursday night, fitness and fellowship. Long walk if you're able for it, or a short stroll, whatever you want. And then tea or coffee, that starts at 6:30. Saturday morning, 9:30, at Pilates. I'm not sure what Pilates is, but James Reed will keep you right. Speaker next Lord's Day is John Buchanan. And so it's good this morning to be gathered together in Father's house to praise and to exalt his precious name. It's a privilege to be here this morning. And we're going to start the service by singing hymn 532. 532.
Thank you.
No, I'd like if you'll come up and open the meeting in prayer. Thank you, I'd like.
Just a few verses for Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peak belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come and let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Just as the song that we just, the hymn that we just sung, it says, and that it says, do not harden your hearts. So if you hear the word of the Lord today and it's speaking to you, do not harden your hearts. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come before you to worship and praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege of gathering together in your house. Lord, we just pray that you would bless each and every one here today. And Lord, we pray for those who are unable to join with us this morning, maybe through illness, maybe through work commitment. We pray, Lord, that you'd reach out and touch them at this time. Again, Lord, we pray for Albert as he proclaims your word. Use him mightily, we pray, Lord. We pray for Alma as he does our reading, Lord. We just pray your hand upon all who are taking part. Or Jim, too. And we just pray that you would bless us, Lord, as we meet together. Lord, we thank you that we could say that you are the sinner's friend. And Lord, we thank you that your grace is so free and so great, Lord, that you could bestow it upon sinners like me. And Lord, we come before you, as it said in the psalm, to kneel and worship to you, Lord. So Lord, we pray for those who are sick this day. Lay a healing touch upon each and every one. For those who are confined to home and can't get out and are lonely, draw into their presence, be near to them. And Lord, for those who have been bereaved, we pray that you'd comfort and console them. Again, Lord, we thank you for this time in your presence, Lord. And we know that you take our stumbling words and make sense of them, Lord. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, that he's interceding for us at this right at this time. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless our time together. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Good to see you. Fine to see you. Hiya. Well, wait to see you. Right, we're going to sing another hymn. 839. Just to sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to say, thus saith the Lord. 839.
Thank you.
Our Bible reading staying for this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 13 to 18. I think Alma's going to come up and do a Bible reading to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18.
Apologies again for they've been doing time to open the door. I have no excuse. I just completely forgot. So I'm really sorry. I'm just half a thankful it was not raining. So sorry again. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. The coming of the Lord. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Amen.
Thank you, Alma. A lovely portion of scripture, and we'll just turn to that just shortly, but we'll sing another hymn. I'm not sure if you'll, well, I hope Abdi kens it. 287, 287. I've sung this hymn for a long time, but it's a well enough Kent tune. 287, our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned. By the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But soon he'll come in glory, the hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by. I'm sure we'll all ken it. What a gathering, for the crowning day is coming.
Thank you.
Amen. I saw that in for a good while. Well, I haven't heard it for a good while, eh? Let's just bow our heads as we gather together again. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for all your goodness and mercies toward us. We thank you for the privilege again of being here, Father. And we would just ask that you will present yourself in the real and the living way in our midst this morning. Lord, it's pointless us being here if we are not in tune with you. But we know that you are here to present yourself to us this morning. We thank you, Father, that wherever we are, you are. And we thank you, Father, that your Son, the Lord Jesus, has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that where two or three or four or five are gathered together in his name, he will be in the midst of us. So, Father, just take the stuttering, stammering tongue of thy servant and use it for thine honour and your glory. Bring all things to my remembrance, that your word may be go forth with the convicting, converting power of the Spirit, even unto the salvation of precious souls. So, Father, thank you again. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Well, it's a well-known post of scripture, Talmud 8 tells. It's a futuristic portion of scripture. It's been preached on many times. And again, it's something that we, if we're believers, should be looking forward to. There's a day coming, that glorious day is coming. Last year in May, just about this time last year, I got one in the caravan for 20 days. I didn't care if I'm gone or no, but I did. And after my quiet time in the morning, I felt a still small voice of the Spirit prompting me. And I can't even mind the words that came into my mind. But I hadn't preached since the Sunday before Jeanette passed away. I hadn't even exercised myself to look at sermons or messages. But I responded in the only way that you could, when the Spirit prompts you. And I just said, Lord, use me. And that was a while back, and that's a year ago. And when we say that to the Lord, we'd better be ready. We'd better be ready, because he will take you up in that, and he'll use you. And I think there have been in 8 different meetings the first 3 months of this year. Lots of Sundays, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and 8 different meetings. But the Lord has blessed it, and I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of preparation. It's been a lot of getting into God's Word. But better not is getting God's Word into me. And that's more important. We can all get into God's Word. We can read it. I'm speaking for myself. Sometimes we read it and we're minding one or two thingies, maybe well-known verses. But after that, it gets bang, it's away sometimes. But get it into our hearts and into our minds, that we may not sin against them. That's God's Word. But it's good to be here today. And I've chosen this subject this morning. As I look on the congregation here, everyone has experienced a separation from loved ones in their lives. Every one of us. For a short time this morning, I would like to speak on the 4 R's of the Lord's second coming. 4 R's. Nothing controversial. I'm not a scholar. I'm not ginned up in the Lord's coming. But again, what I've read and what the Lord has promised. And his infallible word is true and amen. And we cannot dispute that. We wanna dispute it. We cannot dispute it. The 4 R's of the Lord's coming. We have all heard of the 4 R's connected with the Lord's first coming. To save from man's ruin, by redemption through his blood, and regeneration of our Holy Spirit. We're going to look at 4 R's in the Lord's second coming. The first thing is a reality. The reality. Is it a fable or is it a scriptural truth? Do we as believers fully trust and look forward to this event? It's going to happen. It is going to happen. The Lord's promised that all down through the ages that he will come again. And I believe it in my own heart that he's near far away. Most of the meetings have been gone till if they were sitting in a cup of tea and using and speaking together, it's usually the same topic that crops up. And I believe Abdi's under the same mind. The Lord's chopping it to us. Chopping it to us. Let's prove it through God's infallible word. The Saviour's own, own declaration. John 14, verses 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I come to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a promise to you and me this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In Matthew 24, it tells us, 24 and verses 36 to 42, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the floods came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And it says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord will come. It's a sure and steadfast proclamation. The Lord will come. And moving ahead and back, we'll never be able to stop it. And it's a wonderful thing to look forward to. That the clouds will burst asunder, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. You see, in Acts chapter 10, chapter 1, 10 to 11, 10 to 11, it says, this same Jesus, as you see going up into heaven, will come back in such a like manner as you see him go. That was Apostle Paul. It confirmed that to the saints at that time. This same Jesus, the special apostolic revelation, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. We've just read that. Lovely. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Ignorant. It doesn't mean we're silly or we're stupid or we're in a cairn. It just, it wants us to know and pay heed and take heed that the Lord is coming. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren and sisters, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That's a wonderful promise to us today, as we know where our loved ones are. It's a reality of the Lord's coming. The rapidity. Perhaps the most striking feature of the Lord's coming is the rapidity of the rapture. It's enforced three times in Revelation 22, verse 7, 12, and 20. He says in 7 and 12, behold, I come quickly. But he says in verse 20, surely I will come quickly. That's the Lord's own words. Behold, I will come quickly. Behold, I will come quickly, but surely I will come. And he's on his way, I believe, all my heart, that the days that we're living in, we've just read that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And it's the world that we're living in today is just, it's terrible, isn't it? When we watch the television and the news and one thing or another, oh, what a mess this world that God created, that God looked down upon after his seventh day, his sixth day, and he could say, it is good. It is good. Twice he said it in Genesis, it is good. The third time he said, it is very good. That's a world that God created for you and for me. And yet man intervened, the devil got a hood and walked in what happened in that garden of Eden. The sin entered in, and that's why there's so much weeds and thorns and thistles in our gardens. Because the bond was broken with the Lord, with the Heavenly Father. The bond was broken. The rapidity of the Lord's coming. Surely I come quickly. Why, the definite statement in the chapters of fundamentals. Fundamental, that's a big word. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58. Let me just read this to you. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a word to you and me this morning. Word of encouragement. Good word of encouragement. That that you may labor and not in vain. But as we read, as we get the blessing, there's always a command. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know as much that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We've a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Savior. He came into this world 2,000 odd years ago as a babe in a manger, in a stable, laid into a manger, the Son of God. Set aside all his glory, all his heavenly times he had with his Father, and he was born into a stinking, smelling stable for you and for me. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And yet we read of him as a bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the altogether lovely one. And that was in a manger, in a stinking stable. But as he grew up and his ministry went on, we came far, it led on to the purpose and the plan of salvation. Yes, it came to a start at that stable, in that manger. But it led 33 years later to that cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ was straddled upon that cross. Nails were hammered into his hands and into his feet. A crown of thorns was placed upon his head. A spear was shoved into his side. And it says, outpoured blood and water. The plan of salvation from the stable to the cross was set in motion. Without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission for sin. It's wonderful to ken. You see, the devil offered the Christ or the kingdom in a moment, he says, oh, this can be yours. I say, the Lord was up the mountain and he took the devil and said to him, look at this. This can all be yours if you would just bow and knee to me. But it wasn't Satan's to give him. It was God's earth. It was God's ground. It was God's promise. The devil just tried to tempt the Lord. And we came for what happened there. That was just a thing. Then I give up. Then I give in. The moment will come. It says, in the twinkling of an eye, how rapid we shall be changed into his likeness. Wonderful to ken. In the blink of an eye, I don't know how fast an eye blinks. We do it millions of times a day, I suppose. I dare say. Hundreds of times, millions of times, one after another, and still it goes on, it goes on. How rapid we shall be changed into his likeness. I'm going to read a couple of verses in 1 John 3. This is us based in Scripture, folks. It's name my thoughts. This is our Scripture. 1 John 3. It says, beloved, what manner, verse 1 to 3. Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The Lord Jesus was called the Son of Man, and yet we are called the sons of God. The Lord had enough of titles, that one of them was the Son of Man. But here is us. We should be called the sons and daughters of God. What a privilege this morning. What a privilege we have that we can open God's word and we can read these things. What a privilege that we know that promise that we are called the children of God, the sons and the daughters of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The risen, glorified, exalted Saviour is coming back, friends. Is he coming back for you? Are you ready? Is your name written down in that Lamb's Book of Life? Are you ready to meet the Lord when he comes? Because he says, surely I come quickly. Within the reality, the rapidity, and the result, we think of his coming in relation to ourselves. Psalm 16, 10, 11 says, this is, I'm afraid to quote scripture now, my memory is never what it was, and it's God's word, and I can't afford to get it wrong. We just can't afford to get it wrong. Psalm 16. Well, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And just in the next chapter, in verse 15, chapter 17, it says, as for me, I will behold his face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Wonderful. When we pass for this scene of time, we're going to awake with his righteousness. See, what will be the result of his appearing to himself in the fullness sense? Isaiah 53. In verse 11 says, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. He's laboured and he's toiled, and the time he was on this earth, he was despised, Isaiah says, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has laid on him the iniquities of us all. But you can, there were iniquities as gathered unto Christ. They were poured out upon him in the cross of Calvary. Every sin from the time Adam's to the time now, as we're seated here in the Baptist Church on the 5th of May, 2024. And he was in the garden, and he could say, Father, let this cup pass from me. Oh boy, that sin was being poured upon him. If there'd been any other way, Father, then put me through this. Let this cup pass from me. Three times he said it. And that's what he suffered for you and me. Oh, the sin of this world was poured upon him in that center cross in Calvary. And it says, darkness covered the whole land. His heavenly Father couldn't even look upon him as he poured that sin upon his beloved Son. And yet, that was the plan of salvation. He gave his life for you and for me. You and me. It's wonderful to ken. Can you still hear me? It's quite up a lot. It's wonderful to ken that we have a heavenly Father, we have a Saviour, we have a Lord and King, and he loves us with all his heart, and he went to that cross in Calvary to die for you and for me. Have you received that blessing, that saving grace? Grace is free. The hymn says, grace is free. And it's wonderful to know that he shall be satisfied with his soul. He shall be satisfied when we awake in his beauty. There's a verse in Corinthians I'm going to read. 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. And as I'm saying, this is our God's word. This is not my word that I'm putting in. This is our God's word. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 8. Therefore, we are always confident, or we should be, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's a promise that he said again in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there we, you and I, can be also. Is that wonderful? It's something to look forward to. Something to look forward to. You see, God's word says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. The result to his coming, to himself. It's wonderful to ken that he shall be satisfied. He will be satisfied. When he comes back for you and me, he's going to be satisfied. As to ourselves, guilty, the result is to ourselves who he's coming. Guilty, hell-deserving sinners. Romans 5 tells us, just bear with me. 5 and 68, 6 and 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That was you and me. That was you and me, and we're out of Christ's time. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But you can us, guilty, hell deserving as we were, sinners, whom he has redeemed and justified through his sacrifice in Calvary, in time will be glorified into his glorious likeness. We shall awake in his likeness. Wonderful to know. As for me, this is Psalm 17, 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, it's wonderful to ken. Behold thy face in righteousness. And for a church, what's the result for a church? Rent, split and divided all down through the years, shall be united. The prayer of 2,000 years ago that we shall be one, will it be eternally answered? What a gathering that will be when the church is raptured home to glory. What a gathering. Innumerable numbers of thousands of thousands of thousands gathered around the throne of God, singing their hearts out. It says in Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. That's you and me. We love the Lord today. What a future we've got as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've something the world can't give, and something that the world can't take away. Something the world cares nothing about. When we're in the world, we were happy, we were jogging along and getting by, and yet the Lord sometimes just brings us up in our tracks, doesn't he? Albert Sutherland, I'm wanting you. Albert Sutherland, I need you to come to me. The Lord says it speaks once, yet twice, and man perceiveth it not. And that was a why with me. Put it off. Procrastination, it says, is a thief of time. And we keep putting things off, and we keep putting things off. It says, behold, now, here, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of God's salvation. That's a result. And all these things, we'll get all the answers when we get there. It's lovely you can. What a gathering of the ransom that will be. And fourthly and lastly, folks, the reassurance to the believer of his coming. John 14:1-3, I read this a lot. Let not your heart be troubled. I've quoted it 3 times already, I think. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you and me, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a prospect. We've a heavenly home. I mind in Jim Ralph, a mission man, years ago, he used to say, I'm not caring for my mansions at Albert, as long as I'm next door to Aileen. That was his way of putting it. It wouldn't be like that. But we'll be next door to the Lord, that's certain. And he's going to be the light, but no darkness, no sin. And I'm just going to come to that. That's the believer's reassurance of his coming. To the unsaved, which is sad, John 3:18. Let me just read it to you. Walk in it off my heart, but let me just read it. John 3:18. Walk in John 3:17, didn't we? Walk in that, but John 3:16. But John 3:17-18 sometimes is left out, which is sad. John 3:16, I'll read it in that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. This is a verse I want to pay special attention to this morning. He that believeth on him is not condemned. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful thing to ken. Oh, we're still sinners saved by grace. But we've been cleaned and cleansed and purified, or we should be. And still sometimes there's things come out of our mind and things come on the TV and things grow up into our lives, and yet, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Wonderful Savior. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Lots of us had. Maybe you've sitting under the sound of the gospel lots and lots of times in this church or various churches or various meetings, and yet that verse still applies to you, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Sad words, sad words. That's the unsaved. If we really believe God's promises, then God doesn't lie. In his word, we will be waiting and watching for his coming with expectant hearts and the full assurance that he is. And I've highlighted that he is coming soon. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, we've read it twice. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. You see in Revelation 21 and verse 1, let me just read this to you for we sing with last time. Revelation 21, the last chapter in the book. No more. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What a fisherman be thankful for that. No more sea. No more coarse nets. No more pitch black and stuttered about. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great noise out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And this is the no mores, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's what we've got to look forward to, our heavenly home. There is a place reserved for you and me, friends, but it's only if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. You see, Maranatha tells us, it's only mentioned once, I think, according to Fit of Medut. In the Greek, it says once for all. But in the Latin, or whatever, I'm going the wrong way around about, it says, come, Lord Jesus. One simple word, but so much meaning. Come, Lord Jesus. Let me just add another 2 R's before I stop you. 2 R's. One is A-R-E. R. It's an R. A-R-E. R. You ready? Are you ready? Me and I. Am I ready? Are we watching and waiting, listening for a trumpet sound? Can we say this some morning? Come, Lord Jesus. Are we ready to meet him? Are our lamps trimmed and burning bright? Are we ready? Lots of folk in God's word. We just read about Noah. God shut through the door of that ark. It wasn't Noah that shut the door. It was God that shut the door of the ark. We read it 5 wise in the 5 foolish versions. We read a lot about folk that were too late. Depart from me, for I never knew. Oh, but Lord, I've been in the Baptist Kirk. I've been in the assemblies. I've been the brethren. No labels here, friends. That's not to stand in good stead. It's we've got to be ready. Saved by grace alone, this my only plea. Jesus died for sinful men. Praise God. Jesus died for me. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, We thank you for your goodness and love and mercy toward us. And just ask, Heavenly Father, that the word that's going forth, it's not a special word, it's your word, but it's important. And we just ask, Father, that it will not return to you void, but it shall accomplish that for which you've sent it. And so, Father, just bless your word, wherever it's preached today, grand cathedrals or mission halls or open airs or wherever your word is open. Bless your word, Father, because you've told us it will not return to your void, but it shall accomplish that for which you've sent it. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn. On the bright and golden morning when the Son of Man shall come, and the radiance of his glory we shall see, when from every clime and nation he shall call his people home, what a gathering of the ransomed that will be. Now, Jim, will you close in prayer? Hey, what in the mic? What in the mic?
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for health and the strength you have given us. to meet together in your house, Lord, to worship and to praise and to thank you for all your goodness to us, day by day, Lord, we've seen your hands supplied, Father. And Lord, this morning we thank you for the freedom we have to gather together like this. Lord, this week we're reminded, Father, to pray for fellow believers, Lord, in North Africa. Baptist churches, Father, where we close, Father. Pastors, Lord, were put in prison, Father. Some, Lord, have to flee the country, Lord, because of persecution. Oh, because they love the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we thank you, Lord, tonight, this morning, Father, for your goodness to us. You've been able to meet like this, Father. Lord, how we praise you, Lord. You've been so good, Father. And Lord, we're reminded, all of us reminded this morning, Father, that our Savior is coming back again. Lord, we know that, Father, but Lord, scoffers have said, Lord, 2,000 years has not come, but Lord, this we do know, Father, that he's one day closer than he was yesterday. And Father, we just thank you, Father, that he's coming again, Father, coming back, Lord, to see those he has redeemed to be with himself. But Lord, we pray, Father, we're going to live our lives, Lord, the story's not coming for ages, Father. No, we could decline, Father, for there's so much to be done, Father. So many people, Lord, who have never heard of the name of Jesus, Lord. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that we may live our lives, Father, as though he's not coming, Lord, but Lord, he is coming, Father. And Lord, we're going to be ready, Father. And Lord, we're going to be ready, Father, and we're going to live our lives, Father, and be lights of the world, Father, that people, Lord, will not only hear, Father, what we say, Lord, but you will see, Father, that we will love to you. Oh, Lord, we have only one life, and it will soon be passed, but it's all that was done for Jesus that's going to last. So, Lord, we pray that you just continue to bless us, Father, and part us with your loving grace, Father. And Lord, we thank you for the food and coffee that's being provided, Lord. But Lord, your word reminds us, Father, that even a cup of cold water given in your name, you have promised to bless. And Father, we have far more than just cups of cold water, Father. Lord, how you have blessed this people, Father. How you have blessed us, Lord. May we live for you. In Jesus' name.